Friends, Romans, countrymen, it's Stage Direction with Alice Canton.
Sure is that time of the show. We've got no Alice this week, but Beth and I will hold it down. We do have in the studio joined with us Ahi Karanaharan, joining us to speak about Mixtape for Melodies. Kia ora, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on up. It's so great to have you here. Just to kind of get us started, for those who don't know you or the show, do you want to start by introducing yourself in the play?
Cool. My name is Ahi Karanaharan. I'm Sri Lankan by ethnicity. I went to drama school with Alice Canton.
Oh, no way.
She was a couple of years my junior. Studied acting. And in the last kind of like 15 years, I've been like working as a writer, director, producer, actor. You kind of have to in the creative sector, right?
Yeah.
This show that I'm working on, Mixtape for Melodies, is like the final part of a trilogy of works. But I keep telling people that you don't need to have seen the other two works to watch this. This is, all of them are standalone works. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of weird because I think I did my first interview with Stage Directions for my first show, which was part of the trilogy as well. It's a nice little full circle.
Nice, a continuation.
Yeah.
So as you say, A Mixtape for Melodies is the final chapter of the trilogy, which began with Tea and continued with The Morning After. Where did the idea for A Mixtape for Melodies come from as a continuation of your previous work?
So when we moved to New Zealand, that was like about 34 years ago. Like, mm-hmm. I'm showing my age. This is the days when we had audio cassettes and VHS. Again, I'm showing my age, but retro, they're all cool. but my uncle used to send like a mixtape to my other uncle. So it was my uncle sending it to his brother. Mm. And so every month from Germany, he would make a mixtape. And that mixtape was, in a way, his way of articulating his feelings, his thoughts, and also kind of like, I guess, capturing or archiving their past and history. And I just thought it was really cute and really beautiful. And when I was kind of like clearing up the garage and looking through stuff, I was like, I found the tapes. I was like, oh, yeah, I need to do something with these. And I guess I was really interested in the idea of like, if there was a soundtrack to our life, if I could tell my story in 17 songs, what would that be? And then I was like, well, if I could tell a story in 17 songs, what? And I guess it just kind of evolved from that. Mm. Yeah.
No, there's nothing I love more than like the practice of making a playlist or a mixtape for the people you love. I think it's absolutely such a special thing that we do, right?
And it's so special. And it's also like so nerve-wracking because like you just like, it's like, you know, when you're like suddenly in a party and someone's like, oh, you're in charge of music, and you're like, ooh, now I've got to really get the vibe right. And
yeah.
The same thing. It's like when you're making, curating something for someone that you really care about and you're just like, well, I really hope they like it.
Yeah.
Usually, you know, like if I'm making a playlist for them, I'll choose the artists that they like, but sometimes you want to introduce new stuff and you know, get them opening up. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so gorgeous. And I guess in that way, this show is a love letter to making mixtapes, to Sri Lanka, and just to the power of music and family. Do you want to kind of speak to some of these key ideas in the show a bit more?
The premise of the show is that, you know, we've got Deepan, who's our protagonist. He's a Kiwi-born Sri Lankan who runs a podcast. Mm-hmm. And his podcast is like, you know, looking at ethnomusicology and world music. And anyway, he finds this tape and he's like, oh, this is really exotic. I'll have a little listen to it. And he kind of invites his mother along to unlock this mixtape. And in a way, like, you know, mum has been very secretive about her life back in Sri Lanka for reasons, you know, that we get to know in the show. And I guess, you know, like as he plays each track, a story emerges for each of the song. The songs are either like, you know, an anecdote of a time of history, or it kind of conveys a feeling or something in that. And so I guess, you know, like whilst creating it, I guess I start thinking about these ideas of like how stories can transcend time and periods. And like, you know, you think about songs that we listen to when we were kids with our families, and like you have an iconic number that you have with your schoolmates when you graduate. Like these songs and soundtracks are such a big pivotal part of our life, you know? And so I was really interested in that. Like, and if there was a collective soundtrack to Sri Lanka, what would that be? If there's a kind of collective soundtrack to coming of age, what would that sound like? And I guess that's all of these things colliding to tell a universal story about legacies, about nostalgia, the yearning for simpler times and simple things.
Sort of continuing with that thought, I suppose, What was the process of collating or selecting music for this play?
Yeah, I guess like with this, because the show traverses over a long period of time, like it's about 50, 60, 70 years. So I kind of like picked songs that kind of capture the kind of like the timbre or the tone of that time. And yeah. So you can hear the evolution of music from like, you know, string jazz to like, you know, techno to funk, and then on to like, you know, like more like rock. And also in Indian music and Tamil music as well. So like, because around the 70s, you know, there was this beautiful thing that was happening where the world was just like trying to collide and East was meeting West. And so like, I guess I wanted to capture that too. And so these songs that are on the show are personal songs that I've grown up to or I've grown up listening to. Songs that have significant kind of like, I guess, memories attached to it. But then obviously like... when you're making a show, you had to get rights and APRA, which is like, you know, licensing. And some of the songs we couldn't get them because they're like, oh, that's going to cost you like $10,000. We're like, oh, okay. I don't have that money to make a show like that. So then you find a song that captures the same kind of feeling or the same kind of like, you know, I guess, you know, yearning. And so, I've been songs first and then story next.
Gorgeous. Cool. Do you want to speak to some of the other collaborators you've been working with on this show and how you guys kind of devise the piece together?
Yeah, so my director is Jane Young. And so Jane's, she worked on Scenes from a Yellow Peril and she's made on numerous other theatre works as well. And Jane's really interested in the idea of memory and grief and like loss as a thematic idea, but also as a theatre maker, she's really... I guess really excited by form. Like she always like missed, like she works really well with horror as a genre. Not that this work is a horror, but I guess there's a real sense of play, like a theatrical language that she's always trying to find. So she's a director. Then we have Te Ahi Butler, who is a sound designer, and I worked with him on a show as a director in Basmati Bitch a few years ago. And then we've got Karen Saba, who's composed and reimagined a lot of the songs. So we've taken this music and then re-recorded them. And then we have Padma as a composer, and it takes the whole village. And we have Filament 11, which is Brad and Rachel, who have done the scenic and the set design. And, you know, we're constantly in the room looking at what's the best way to articulate the idea and what's the way to... Again, it always comes back into the feeling. That what is the feeling that we want the audience to feel in this moment? What is the takeaway, or what do you want them to experience in this moment?
I guess to add on to that, what would you say is the overall takeaway of the show?
That's a hard one.
I know, tricky.
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, for me, the idea is that if after the show, if you could just kind of go back and just like, you know, dig through like your old boxes and find like an old CD or a tape and you listen to it, or like you call someone from the past and you kind of like have a chat to someone, or you like you think of your first gig, like if you can just kind of like, you know, reflect or have a conversation, and then I've done something in this. So I guess the feeling of that is a sense of warmth, a sense of comfort, a feeling of like there's a bit of sweetness to it as well. I mean, I'm a Pisces, so I'm like very, you know, like sentimental about things.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's something about, yeah, like going back and looking at something.
Beautiful. When and where can people go and see the show?
Well, we open on the 4th of March. We are as part of the Auckland Arts Festival, and it's a collaboration between Auckland Arts Festival, Auckland Theatre Company, and my company, Agaram. And we run till the 24th of March, every day of the week, except for Mondays. And there's, I think for those who are under 30, there's like list that's like under 30 for $30. And there's like all these other promo prices. And also there's a pay what you can night, where you can pay from anything from $10 onwards, whatever you can. And I guess, you know, the show... Yeah, it's we want to try and make it as accessible as possible, because sometimes theatre tickets are like quite hefty and pricey, and especially with festival shows, making it accessible to everyone.
Yeah, 100%. Well, thank you so much, Ahi, for coming in. It's been a pleasure having you
Likewise.
In the studio.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
If you guys want to go see a Mixtape for Melodies, you can get your tickets from atc.co.nz. That was Stage Direction.
That was Stage Direction with Alice Canton.